Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show here on a Monday morning. No Rod Peterson. He's on the beach in Mexico.
Roger.
I know. Anyways, Darren DuPont with you, and you see Jared Dumba with us too in the studio because we got lots of hockey to get to today. Trade deadline in the National Hockey League, but big playoff races happening too, and lots of moves already happening in the NHL this morning. We're going to get to that and more. We're going to recap the weekend that was. It was a great weekend, period. I spent some time in the broadcast booth in Regina, Blades and Pats, on Friday night, which won me lunch with Rod. And nice. Pulled us back up to even at two apiece, so that's good.
There you go.
When you get back, we'll go to Wendell Clark's for lunch before a Rush game, probably. And then on Saturday, it was the Blades and Swift Current Broncos. The Blades won that one. The Rush were winners over the weekend. It was a big weekend in Canada West hockey, too. A really big weekend in Canada West hockey. First of all, for the U of S Huskies, they are off to the Canada West Finals, and they are going to host that Canada West Final after beating Calgary. Carson Stadnick winning that game in overtime in game two at Merlis Belcher. But how about this? UBC is off to the Canada West Final and off to Nationals for the first time in 42 years. Ooh. They beat number one Alberta in game three, 2-1. Ryland Toth, the goaltender from Saskatoon, playing with UBC, out of this world, one of the greatest goaltending performances ever, had over 50 saves in game one, same story in game three, and he made a save with about 2.5 minutes to go in game three with UBC up 2-1.
Yeah,
it was just ridiculous. And so it's going to be weird not seeing the Golden Bears in it, but really great for UBC.
Oh, yeah. And see, you know, guy with Saskatoon ties there to see, you know, great performance by him. That was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that save. I just saw it on Twitter. I didn't see it live, but I watched it about 50 times over, I think. I don't know how he got over there, but huge for the boys. Huge.
Yeah, big. We'll ring the bell one time this morning for breaking trades, but we won't do this all morning because we could go off the off the handle here. Trades in the NHL, the latest one, Patrick Marleau on the move to Pittsburgh. So Patrick Marleau has gone to the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are trying to, well, they are cup contenders right now, among the leaders in the National Hockey League. Pittsburgh second in the Metropolitan Division, 2 points back of Washington, but they've got a game in hand. Now they've got Patrick Marleau. That's a big move.
That's unbelievable. I think for Marleau, for my guess, I said Pittsburgh or Tampa is my guess this year. Tampa, because they're used to being, you know, the lead horse the whole way and never going through adversity. This year they went through a bunch of adversity. I think that they'll be right up there, but Pittsburgh just has something about them. Just feels like they're going to win it again. When you see Malkin and Crosby playing like that, and now to add a guy like that can play third, fourth line minutes, if somebody goes down, he can jump up to the first line. You know, he's with his speed. He's still got the speed. He can play up and down the lineup. So that's a huge addition for Pittsburgh, and the cost is right too, I guess.
Yeah. So we'll have more on trade deadline as the show moves along. We'll keep you up to date on all the latest trades that are happening in the National Hockey League as teams start to load up ahead of the playoff push, which leads us to our poll question this morning for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. And the poll question is simply this: which team needs to do the most? How do we word that, Clark? Which team needs the most help? There you go. Of the four Western Canadian teams at the trade deadline today, which team needs the most help? Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, or Winnipeg? So head to Twitter or here on the Facebook feed and let us know your thoughts on the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center daily poll question. Edmonton acquiring Mike Green, the defenseman, last night. That was the first real big move for the Western Canadian teams. And I know Ken Holland's got some history there. He brought him into Detroit.
Yep.
And now Mike Green is a Edmonton Oilers. Good move? Bad move?
You know what? I think It's tough. I don't think he's going to go out and get a whole bunch of points and run the first power play and
like he used to.
Like he used to. But great guy to have in the room, bringing on somebody with experience. And I think the bigger play too is you know, Connor and Leon have been sitting around there and Nuge for the last few years, and they've been selling. You know, so now you're bringing guys in, even if it's not life changing move, or not even if it's not the biggest move in the league. You're showing the boys that, hey, we're gonna try to go for it this year. So I like that move, and what he's going to bring to the locker room will be as much as what he brings on the ice.
The Vegas Golden Knights winning last night. Edmonton winning last night, too. Connor McDavid's return. They beat L.A. by a score of 4-2. Calgary also beating Detroit 4-2 last night. Vegas got by Anaheim 6-5 in overtime. The RP show bump continues for the Vegas Golden Knights. Did you know that? So the RP show bump, you come on the show, good things happen, right? Players sign contracts.
Yeah.
They win, right? They win championships. All these great things happen. Well, the Vegas Golden Knights got the RP show bump, too. If you knew, Rod got invited down to Vegas by the Golden Knights, Gary Lawless and Kelly McCrimmond and all the Saskatchewan connection that Rod lists off,
yep.
They brought him down. Well, they had lost three in a row before he got there. They had fallen out of a playoff spot. He shows up, and St. Louis is winning. Stanford had the hat trick, the four-goal night, but yep. They came back, won the game. Won the next night he was there against the Islanders, and all they've done is proceeded to win six in a row since he showed up, and they've climbed into first place in the Pacific Division. So
He's a good luck charm, old Roddy.
And they won last night, realized they needed to continue to upgrade. Alec Martinez in the back end.
That's the only reason I came to the show. I needed some luck in my life, so I thought, hey, you better get down there.
I don't think the RP show bump works unless RP is here.
Oh,
sorry, pal.
Damn it.
Thought about that. So that's
okay,
interesting.
I'll be back then.
But the biggest story from the entire weekend is the 42-year-old Zamboni driver in Toronto as the Leafs are hosting the Carolina Hurricanes. David Harris comes into the game after both James Reimer and
Mrazek
get injured. They go down to injury, so everybody's looking around. What are we going to do? Well, you have an emergency backup goaltender that gets signed for every game. He's listed as the emergency guy for both teams.
Yeah.
For both teams.
Yeah.
And on that night, it was the 42-year-old Zamboni driver, David Harris.
With his Leafs gear on.
With his Leafs gear on.
Underneath, I heard.
From Toronto.
Yeah.
Comes into the hockey game, and it's 3-1, or 4-1, right? Or sorry, 3-1 when he comes in. Carolina scores a goal to make it 4-1, and then all of a sudden, here comes John Tavares, stops in the slot, first shot on him, it's in.
Through the wickets.
All you see is Rod Brind'Amour on the bench, the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, just shaking his head.
Yeah.
He can't believe it. You think it's going to be 10-1 or 10-4 Toronto.
Yeah.
Second shot on goal, bounces off a defenseman, right to another Leaf, and in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Two shots, two goals, and not a great start.
No.
But Carolina continues to play well. They rally behind him. In the third period, he stops every shot that he faces, and they win the game 6-3. It was one of the most unbelievable things that we've seen. I was in the broadcast booth doing the Flames and Swift Current, or the Blades and Broncos in Saskatoon, but I'm watching the game here, the Leafs and Hurricanes, more than I'm paying attention to the game on the ice because it was so captivating.
Yeah.
It had everybody captivated. Were you watching
it? You don't see it that often. I was just paying attention on Twitter. I didn't have a chance to be watching it live, but I was just paying attention to what was going on, and just all the comments were good enough for me. But it was kind of interesting. And then I heard him interviewed after the game. They said, you know, you calmed down after those first couple of goals. What did it? And he said one of the guys came over. It was actually Eric Halla came over, and he said, hey, just have fun. We don't care if you let in 10 goals. And then he never let in another goal. So good to have a good veteran guy like that calm you down, I guess. But what a story.
Yeah, amazing story. Now, I mean, the last game of record that we found on him, or that they found on him, was 5 years ago at the Allen Cup. Which is good hockey.
Yeah.
But other than that, in terms of competitive hockey levels, Junior B was the highest level he had played. But now being in the system, he's practiced with the Marlies a number of times.
Yeah.
Just as a guy they bring out to stop pucks when certain guys are injured or get the night off or get called up to the big club. So he's practiced with the Marlies. After doing that, you know, a bunch of times, 50 times, he finally got on the bench as a emergency backup goaltender, and they all joked that he finally got his shot to play because he had practiced so much, but never got into a game. This, he gets into the game, and how cool is that?
Yeah, and made a couple decent stops, too.
He made some big saves.
Yeah, yeah.
The most entertaining thing was his wife's Twitter account during the game. Did you see that, Sarah?
She was, she had a couple tweets we can't repeat on
capital,
live.
All caps, as TV, her husband goes into the game with four exclamation marks that says, F me.
Yeah.
That's all she said. Yeah. That was her tweet. Like, he's going in. Yeah. Now, they're both diehard Leaf fans, right? In the Toronto area.
Yeah.
He works for the Marlies and works at the Mattame Center, you know, with the ice series, the building manager at the Mattame Center, which is the old Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah.
That's now half is a nice arena for the university, for Ryerson, and then the other half's a grocery store. So they're all about the Leafs. So she doesn't know who to cheer for.
Yeah.
Right? Do you cheer for your husband who's in goal now for the Hurricanes, or do you cheer for the Leafs who you need to win because you need to keep in a playoff spot? It's an important 2 points, but they completely
then she was saying it's lonely up here watching games. I guess she's not used to sitting by herself watching
sitting
games,
by herself.
But I guess it's okay if you're watching your husband get a shot like that, eh?
Well, and then they did the whole media circuit, and they were on TSN, they were on Hockey Night in Canada, and what a great moment for them. But it brings up the question, and unfortunately, part of it is just how bad the Leafs were in that hockey game.
Oh.
And how bad, just days after playing Pittsburgh, beating them 4-0, and everybody being back on track to Toronto being a Stanley Cup contender again, right? But now this, you know, is being called the most embarrassing moment in Toronto Maple Leafs history. You lose a game to a Zamboni driver. And it's got everybody talking about it.
Well, now they're rehashing every move that's been made, back to signing Tavares, to what's the leadership doing, to, you know, was it too much to give Matthews and Marner this much? You're just hearing everything questioned. You know, was Keefe a good idea to bring? I think it was a fantastic idea that had to be done. But, you know, you're hearing everything. They're just going through everything now, trying to figure out what's the problem. And, man, your guess is as good as mine.
Well, there's two things here. Most embarrassing moment in Leafs history? Maybe. It might be.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Maybe the 9-1 loss a couple years ago, last year, when was that?
Yeah.
Close.
There's moments that aren't great. The other thing, the question that comes into it, and it's been asked, and everything's been asked on social media, is this rock bottom in terms of the trajectory and where the Leafs are going and things like that? And I say definitely not.
Well, what place are they in?
Right? As we wake up this morning, the Toronto Maple Leafs are in a playoff spot. Right? Third place in the Atlantic.
And everybody's calling for them to be sellers now because they lost a game to a Zamboni driver is what they're saying.
And of course, teams have games in hand. And
yeah.
I mean, Florida's got a game in hand on Toronto, and they're 2 points back.
What do you do?
But
if you're a GM, are you seller or buyer right now? Or are you standing pat and just doing nothing?
Well, the way I look at it, first of all, it's not rock bottom. I mean, where the team's at in the trajectory, it's just very embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
It's very embarrassing, but it's not rock bottom. When you look at the Leafs roster, because people are calling for Kyle Dubas' head. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, Kyle Dubas has to go.
Yeah.
And he is young and maybe inexperienced at the NHL level, but obviously has a lot going for him that they've put him in this position. And Brendan Shanahan has trusted him with this, you know, pretty monumental task of giving the Leafs a Stanley Cup for the first time since 1967. No small feat. But when you're looking at the Leafs in terms of, you know, the roster construction, if I take the roster on paper and you take every roster in the NHL on paper, who are you trading theirs with?
Yeah.
There's not a lot not of teams. Lot. There are some teams.
And see, that's what people are talking about now with the advanced stats and all that stuff. Well, you can have something that looks fantastic on paper, but are you missing some of the heart? Are you missing some of those pieces that a Lou Lamoriello, or better yet, a Hunter, you know, a Mark Hunter would have known, because he was the other guy, right, that was going to be brought in? I think that he should have been the guy brought in, even though I don't mind some of the stuff Dubas is doing. But some of those things, you know, are they missing a little bit of the heart, a little bit of the grit here and there? You know, those type of things that you have to be a little bit more intricately involved in the game with than just knowing the advanced stats. And I understand Dubas is a hard worker. He's around more than anybody and blah, 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 all this stuff. But there is something to be said about experience being around the game your entire life and being, you know, a 40, 50-year-old man who's seen the teams that have been good on paper fail, you know. So it's a tough one, but I don't know. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do.
Facebook feed is open. You're watching here at rodpeterson.com and on Facebook Live. You can listen live at rodpeterson.com. Bo Halverson chiming in from Saskatoon says, good morning from Saskatoon. Oilers are my team. Good morning, Bo. Good to hear from you and love seeing you in the Facebook feed every morning. Jason's watching says, good morning from Red Deer. Go Flames, go. Really liking where the Flames are right now, coming off a big win over Detroit last night. Paul's watching. He's in. Paul Figler. I made it, and I'm a Jets fan, he says. Jets fan in Red Deer.
Paul.
All right. There you go, Paul.
What up, Paul?
So, good morning.
He's a Twitter buddy.
Good morning. He's a Twitter buddy. There you
Twitter
go.
Twitter buddy.
Good morning, Randy. Good morning from Cochrane, Alberta. Pat Janix is watching. He says the Zamboni driver beating the Leafs is the best story from the weekend, and I think everybody agrees with that. It was a wonderful story.
One of the better stories of the
year.
Now,
the people who are loving it just because it's the Leafs on the other end, stop. It doesn't matter.
Shame,
nobody really cares about that. Okay? That's just a lot of hate coming out, a lot of bitterness. It's not a good look. Even if you do hate the Leafs or if you're a Leafs fan, we all loved Carolina winning that hockey game and the emergency goaltender winning. Even the Leafs fans. So nobody's upset. Okay? So stop being mad. Try and be happy. Have a glass of water. It reduces stress. Okay? It'll be good for you.
Wine does that too.
Yeah.
I heard.
A little glass of wine. I like that too. All right. Any salty, and actually, Randy Nickel in the Facebook feed says, any salty Leaf fans today, David Ayers is in Carolina the next couple of days being treated like royalty. I don't think there are any salty Leaf fans. Actually, that's a lie, because there are, because they're talking about the embarrassment of it and rock bottom and all this and that.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I don't think Leaf fans are upset. I don't think anybody's upset in the moment. I think you're happy. If you're a real hockey fan, I think you're happy for David Ayers. You love that story, because that's what we grow up. That's the boyhood dream. That's the time where you're in bed sleeping at night and you're like, man, and you dream of being in the NHL and that nervousness.
Still do it. I can still do it.
Exactly.
There's a chance.
We all do it.
There's an outside chance. Pros versus Joes.
Yeah. Pros versus Joes.
Yeah.
And Trent's watching in Norway and comments in the Facebook feed.
Hey.
Says, Norway calling. Glad the Rush won in Philadelphia. They are still perfect on the road, by the way. Will the Flames do something with Johnny Gaudreau? And our offense is getting better in the XFL. Have a good day back home. So, good evening, Trent. And we'll do our best to answer all of that and a little bit more. I've got an XFL update, too, we're going to get to. It was a good week in the XFL. We are going to talk more about trade deadline day. We've got all the trades to recap. And we're going to get into Alex Ovechkin at some point this morning. Ovechkin scoring his 700th goal in the National Hockey League. Finally, but it brings up the debate. Will he catch Wayne Gretzky? 194 goals to go to catch him, 195 to pass him. I know you've got thoughts on that. I've got thoughts on that. And as we talk about that, we've got Trade Center up on the screen right now, and they're talking about it. At 700 goals, he is now eighth all-time in the National Hockey League. Also today on the program, we'll be joined by Taylor Shire of Global Regina in Hour 2. Ryan Ballantyne, the chief punk in Calgary and the Calgary Stampeders blogger and podcast. Caster and Calgary Flames season ticket holder will be along a little bit later on. Sean Simpson from TSN Radio in Ottawa will join us, the former goaltender, now turned analyst, and Joey Alfieri from TSN Radio in Montreal will join us on the other side. A good Monday morning, and this has been the roll-up for Flooring Superstores. We'll be back with more on The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-backed-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Rod is away in Mexico. So we are here, Darren DuPont, alongside Jared Dumba for hour one of the program here on a Monday morning and a great rollout for Flooring Superstores. Quick sports update to update the recent trades in the National Hockey League. The Penguins shipping a third-round pick to San Jose, and in return, they get Patrick Marleau, the former Shark. Short time with the Leafs, back to the Sharks, and now looking for a cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Nate Thompson on his way to Philadelphia. The Montreal Canadiens, in return, get a 2021 fifth-round draft pick. Big trade in Florida and Carolina. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to receive Vincent Trocheck, the forward, for Eric Walla, Lucas Walmark, Etu Lauritainen, and Chase Prisky. Did I say those names properly? They're going back to Florida. Big haul. Jean-Gabriel Pageau is on his way to the island. The New York Islanders have picked up the forward from Ottawa in exchange for a 2020 conditional first-round pick, a 2020 second-round pick, and a 2022 conditional third-round pick.
Speaking of big hauls.
Yeah, the 2020 first-round pick shifts to a 2021 first-round pick if the Islanders' pick is in the top three this year. That's the condition. And the Colorado Avalanche have acquired Vladislav Namestnikov from Ottawa for a fourth-round pick. Among other deals, last night the Oilers acquiring Mike Green. This sports update is for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. We waste no time continuing the NHL talk as we head out to Montreal and join TSN's Joey Alfieri out there. Busy morning, I'm sure, for you, Joey. Busy few days for the Canadiens at trade deadline day. How are you this morning?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having me.
So how would you kind of assess the last couple of days? Ilya Kovalchuk is gone. Nate Thompson is gone. How have the Canadiens handled the trade deadline so far in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was to be expected. It looks like they're just going to sell off their expiring contracts for draft capital. And with Kovalchuk, I wasn't too sure. I thought that maybe, you know, the two sides enjoyed the marriage that began in early January, but it sure sounds like, I mean, he just got wrapped up finishing. I just watched the scrum here live from Montreal this morning before he took off for Washington. And he didn't say that he was definitely coming back, but it just, the feel you got from listening to that is like, it just seems like on July 1st, these two sides are going to come back together. And, you know, maybe they sign a one-year extension after Kovalchuk goes to Washington and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, from that perspective, I thought maybe there was a chance that they would sign him now and keep him. But it sure looks like, you know, the marriage might not necessarily be over just yet. In regards to Nate Thompson, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of to be expected. They end up getting something for a veteran guy who can win faceoffs and kill penalties. And, you know, they're not in the playoff mix. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. They gave up a fourth last year to get him from LA. They end up getting a fifth in 2021. So, I mean, yeah, so far it's kind of just been a pretty standard day at the office for Mark Bergevin and the Canadiens.
Yeah, the Kovalchuk thing is interesting, and it's fun because he had almost been, you know, reinvigorated in Montreal, and I love hearing that. There's a lot of speculation that he'll probably return, which I don't think we see that enough, Joey. You know, they talk about the term rental player, and a player's going to leave and then come back, but that's not often the case. So you're going to welcome him back with open arms?
I mean, I think you just look at the way he kind of fit in. And listen, I mean, when he first got here, he was producing at a clip that just – I mean, I mentioned it on the air a few times. Like, it wasn't sustainable. You know, he wasn't going to be a point-of-game player for 15, 16, 17 games. The production had dipped for him, for everybody. You know, they've had their fair share of struggles here. But I think what he showed is that there's still a little bit, you know, there's still something left in the tank. And if he's willing to come back on a, you know, on nothing longer than a one-year deal, then I think the two sides should definitely explore a potential return. And the Canadians are lacking when it comes to skill and goals. And so, you know, if he's if he comes in and he helps you, you know, make the playoffs or push for, you know, at least be in the conversation for a playoff spot next year. And then if you're not, then you trade him again at the deadline. But, you know, it seems like this was a good fit all around. A lot of his teammates seemed to really like him. And he really seemed to like being part of the organization. So, yeah, I know we don't see it happen very much. But this is, you know, potentially one of those instances where a guy definitely comes back.
Yeah, TSN's Radio Montreal, Joey Alfieri joining us here on the video chat, on the Facebook feed. You talk about trades. There's been 6 trades so far today in the National Hockey League. Last year on trade deadline day, we had 23, 19 the year before that. So off to a decent start this morning. But one of the newest insiders, or if you look at his Twitter feed, it's insider, it's Mike Commodore. I don't know if you've seen his Twitter feed, but he's getting tongues wagging across the NHL. He's an entertainer on Twitter. That's what he tries to do. But he has had Montreal in his sights a little bit, Joey, citing back to 95 as they try and make a shakeup. So my question is, first of all, was 95 the year that Patrick Waugh was dealt?
Yeah.
And is he referring to Carey Price? And could there any possibility of Carey Price being on the move? Is that even in this world of possibilities?
I really don't think so, man. I think the Canadians think that they're going to be competitive if they stay healthy as soon as next season. So I can't see that happening. I saw those tweets. I had a good chuckle. And I think there's, you know, you never want to say 0% chance, but, you know, I don't think they're making that type of move today. And if that move happened, you know, even this summer, it would shock me. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. But they would have to do a complete 180 because, you know, they've talked about a retool and a reset here, but never a rebuild. And I just feel, you know, if you're trading Carey Price away, then you're going in a totally different direction than what you've been telling people. So, you know, I don't think they're going to blow this up. I know there's a lot of people that want Tatar and Petrie traded today. They're looking at the return that Pajot netted Ottawa, and they're wondering, you know, what could a guy like Tatar, who has another year left, or what can a guy like Petrie, who has another year left, what can they fetch? I think it comes down to the fact that I believe the Canadians believe that they're going to be competitive next year. I'm a little skeptical, but, you know, we'll see. I think today you're going to see the standard, you know, maybe Dale Weiss moves. He's on an expiring contract. Maybe somebody wants, you know, another right-handed depth defenseman, Christian Folan, you know, so maybe he moves. But, you know, those are draft pick rental moves, you know, much like a Nate Thompson move. I don't see Price going. I don't see Weber going. I don't think that this general manager is going to make that kind of move. I think he's going to be all in and try to make the playoffs next year.
Well, the other thing is that you got to find somebody that'd be able to fit his salary in. And I guess Colorado, they're saying, has a lot. That'd be the only place. So you'd have to, you know, you got one team to work with. But I'm kind of on your side there. I don't see that happening. Another name that I heard briefly kind of thrown around a couple times, which would not make sense to me either, was Max Domi. I mean, for a guy that had, 70, 71 points last year and he's having a down year, you don't want to trade a guy who has star potential in a down year. You're not going to get half as much for him. You know, if he has another bad year next year, you can kind of, and then you want to get rid of him. To me, you can kind of recoup what you would have this year anyway. But have you heard anything about that? Is that just people blowing smoke on Twitter, or you heard Domi's name at all in trade rumors?
Well, you see, I think there's teams that are interested in Max Domi, but I don't know what the Canadiens' appetite for trading Max Domi would be. I think the reasoning now that you're seeing people, you know, put Domi and a potential trade together is just because, you know, the Canadiens have the emergence of Nick Suzuki this year, who's been really good at center. And so that's kind of shifted Max Domi. I know he's back at center now, but he's gone back and forth, wing center. And it's, you know, he came out earlier this season and said that, you know, he's a guy who wants to play center. He's not as comfortable on the wing. And, you know, I understand he's a guy who creates chances off the rush. You know, he's a smaller, speedier player who wants to use the middle of the ice to create offense. But, you know, the issue is that his overall game, you know, in his own end without the puck, it's lacking at times. But you can put up with that stuff. You know, when you score 28 goals and 72 points, maybe the coach is a little more willing to throw you out there and have your defense and tolerate your defensive issues. I think it's funny how quickly, you know, in this market people turn. You know, last year Domi was an untouchable. This year it's, you know, that quote unquote down year, and he's flirting with 20 goals, flirting with 50 points. I know the numbers are down, but that's a bad year. So Yeah, I again, I don't think the Canadians have an appetite to trade him. I also think, though, the one thing that kind of has me a little bit puzzled is just the relationship with Claude Julien. We've seen him bench Max Domi, and for good reason this year. I mean, he's taking some silly penalties at times. But it seems like for whatever reason, those two guys aren't on the same page. So I wonder if that's maybe not, you know, that's not addressed over the course of the summer, you know, that relationship between those two. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to trade Domi right now. Not to say that he's, you know, an untouchable, but I don't think, you know, I think the Canadians like the move they made for Domi. And I think they realize that they have a guy who, you know, wants to be here, appreciates being in a hockey market. And just one more thing about Domi, just in regards to that down year. You know, this is a contract year for Max Domi. And I know he signed a bridge deal when he first got to Montreal. He signed a short two-year deal. You know, but now, you know, he had a big year last year, like we mentioned, and he's had to play this on an expiring contract. He's going to be RFA at the end of the year. So I wonder if the expiring deal and the negotiation or lack thereof or whatever has been weighing on him at all. I wonder if he's pressing a little bit from that too.
Yeah, that could definitely be. Now, talk about guys going out. Is there any chance at all of you hear anything of maybe guys that Montreal might want to go after, bring in? Any chance of bringing anybody in instead of everything just going out all the time?
Yeah, I think it would be a bit tough to make a hockey deal at this point. You know, you know, you look at a lot of the moves, the hockey trades that are happening. You know, the Jason Zucker going to Pittsburgh from Minnesota is, it was a deal where they gave up, you know, a top prospect and Kalen Addison. They gave up a first-round pick. I think so. Any team that's out of it is going to want to make a hockey deal, is going to want picks and prospects. I don't see that happening. I know that, Michael Russo had it as the Canadians being one of the teams in. On Matt Dumba and Jonas Brodin, you know, I don't know, you know, they've apparently the asking price was Max Domi, who we just spoke about. So, yeah, I don't think that's a move the Canadians would make. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder if they're still looking for that left-handed defenseman that they've been searching for, you know, somebody who can play with Shea Weber. They're obviously in need of some more talent up front, but I think it's hard to make those moves today. You know, I think that's a move that you probably make at the draft. Yeah. Where, you know, the draft is here in Montreal, so you probably want to make a splash. And so I think that that's kind of what you're looking at in terms of adding. They definitely need to add. I don't think it's going to be today.
All right, Joey, let's flip gears to the CFL and the Alouettes. Joey Alfieri from TSN Radio in Montreal is our guest this morning. And your thoughts overall on free agency. But first, the Naaman Roosevelt news that he's going to be a Montreal Alouette, the former Riders receiver.
Yeah, no, I like the signing. I don't think it gets done if, you know, Quan Bray doesn't get arrested for, you know, the charges that we saw, or the alleged charges that we saw pop up last week. You're looking at the depth chart at receiver. They've brought back Geno Lewis. You know, he signed a one-year deal. B.J. Cunningham's under contract. He's coming back healthy. He's a slot back. Naaman Roosevelt lined up at slot back as well, presumably for the Owls, assuming that this thing gets done now. Jake Winicky is going to be in line for a big, you know, second year. It was very good that first year last year. But he's a guy who's, you know, going to step up, and he's going to be asked to count, you know, he's going to be asked to produce more. And then I think they'll probably start, you know, a Canadian on the wide side of the field with Felix Faubert-Lucier or Malcolm Carter, Chris Osei-Kusi, or whomever they go with there. But, you know, I think you look at the group of receivers. You have Lewis is now a veteran. Cunningham's a veteran. Roosevelt's a veteran. Winicky's the young guy. The only question mark I have really with the group is, you know, those are guys with reliable hands, but you don't really have a burner. You know, Roosevelt's not necessarily the fastest guy. Winicky's not either. Cunningham's more of a possession guy too. Lewis is a bigger body that can get down the field and make big plays, but he's not a burner either. So your two speed guys were Posey and Bray, and they're no longer there anymore. So I like the group that they have. It's just I think it's lacking a little bit of speed.
Yeah, we'll wait to see. But so far, so good in Montreal. Joey, appreciate the update. Great stuff. Hang in there and enjoy the rest of the day here in Montreal.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Joey Alfieri from TSN Radio in Montreal, and a great update on all things Habs and Alouettes. We have one more trade to announce in the National Hockey League, and it's a small one. The Maple Leafs have reacquired defenseman Callie Rosen from the Colorado Avalanche. He had been splitting time, played 8 games with the Avs, I believe, but most of his time in the American Hockey League this year, but a former Maple Leaf and Marley as early as last season. Michael Hutchinson, the expendable Leafs goaltender, going the other way. And news in New York, the Rangers are dealing with injuries, and the goaltender, Igor Shesterkin, how do you say his last name?
Shesterkin, yeah.
Shesterkin, I said that right?
Yeah.
Is said to have suffered a nondisclosed rib fracture and will miss a lengthy period of time. So there you go.
No.
That goaltender and the goaltending in New York has been a big reason why they've been able to climb to within just 4 points of a playoff spot. And for Shesterkin, in his last 7 starts, he's won his last 7 starts, and he's won 9 of 10 starts since coming to New York and being in the crease in 2020. So
with a 9.41 save percentage.
In the new year, with a 9.41 save
too bad.
Percentage. Yeah. So he's pretty good right now. And you know that the two goaltenders with Gorgiev and Lundqvist had kind of been splitting time. The prior Alexander Gorgiev had a 9.12 save percentage in 28 games, 26 starts, a 14-12-0-1 record. But Shesterkin had been kind of the guy who had given them new life.
Yeah.
So now, does this make the Henrik Lundqvist trade market kind of not there anymore?
Well, I don't know. I was hoping that, obviously, that Henrik's going to go somewhere, try to go for a cup. But, you know, also just watching the way things have unplayed throughout the year, it's almost looking like they're trying to get him out of there. People are going, why do you have 3 goalies? How come you're not trading one of those young guys? I think that they had them all up there so that Henrik got to know them. And then, you know, maybe started to feel like, hey, maybe I should give these guys, you know, a chance. The other thing now with, I think Henrik could still possibly, they could still possibly be trying to trade him.
Yep.
Because they just brought in Berube out of Philly. What was that, yesterday? So I was wondering why they did the Berube move, but now it all makes sense. So I don't know. I think Henrik does want to stay there. I think it sounds like they're trying to nicely push him out, but we'll see what happens. I hope he goes. Go to Colorado or somewhere. Go try win a cup.
Try win a cup. Well, that's what you want from players, or that's what, yeah, you know, the great storylines. Another small move just happening a moment ago. Derek Grant is on his way from Anaheim to Philadelphia, player and a pick going the other way in that trade. So the Philadelphia Flyers picking up forward Derek Grant. And as Clark points out, it was the car accident that injured the Rangers goaltender, right? So in a car accident there. So we'll have more on that and more on the rest of the moves around the National Hockey League as we continue today. What does that bring us up to? 7 trades on the day with the Callie Rosen move. So we'll add up the total and see if we can get past the 23.
Let's get past 20.
Let's keep it exciting.
Let's have a few. Right? Let's have a couple blockbusters, though.
Yeah. Your phone's not rolling. You're not an insider?
No, I'm not.
No trades being broken.
I'm trying to be a little bit respectful, but I keep getting caught looking at it.
No trades broken from Jared Dumba. On today, we will forgive you for looking at your phone today.
All right.
It's okay. The Prairie Mobile text line is open at 306-840-8777. So get your thoughts and comments in on the Prairie Mobile text line. Everybody jumping in. Chris Kreider has re-signed a 7-year deal in New York with the Rangers. So a 7-year deal. So thanks, Mick, Randy, Jason, everybody who's filling us in on that. Mark Bergman, watching this morning, says, let's go Penguins. Patrick Marleau and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Alan Lee watching as well. He predicts 30 trades today on. Yeah.
Be right.
I know.
Be the ball.
There you go. And he says the bell is ringing today. So there you go. We'll break down the rest of the trades. I want to talk about this Patrick Marleau deal, and I want to get into the Alexander Ovechkin stuff here in hour one. Alexander Ovechkin finally getting his goal, 699 and 700. He got 700 on Saturday for the Washington Capitals. Now up to 8th all time. He's 194. four goals back of Wayne. Will he catch and pass Wayne Gretzky? I say no. Jared says hell yes.
Not a chance he doesn't.
We'll talk about that next. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a Rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont in for Rod, who is away in Mexico this week. But we've got lots of time to have lots of fun this week, and we will do that here on the Rod Peterson Show. More trades. We've been breaking those. We haven't been breaking them, but the insiders across the NHL at our friends at Sportsnet and TSN and all the rest have been breaking trades. Derek Grant off to Philadelphia. Cali Rosen for Michael Hutchison. That deal, a small one, but the big one of the morning is Patrick Marleau on his way to Pittsburgh for a third-round pick from San Jose. Patrick Marleau taking another run at a Stanley Cup. And for Marleau, he had that opportunity in Toronto. Didn't work out. But he had a couple of good years in Toronto. He went there to try and win a cup. And I respect that. I love the story. The greatest story for me watching hockey as a kid and growing up in the game was easily Ray Bourque. That yeah. moment when Colorado was winning the cup, mm-hmm. time's ticking down, they win. And when Joe Sakic goes up to grab the cup, it's not his first time, but he grabs the cup and he doesn't lift it. He pulls it over and he does the head nod to Ray Bourque to say, come over and get it. And he hands the cup to Ray Bourque and Ray Bourque puts it over his head for the first time. You can't help but cry. You're just so overcome with emotion and you're not even in the building. You're just watching on television.
Well, but, your dream is to win the cup, right? So like, it just blows my mind when guys don't want to leave. But it seems to be like a Swedish thing, I guess. You know, the Sedin twins, guys like the guys that want to stay in that same place and just are comfortable where they're at. Like for some reason, I don't know why Henrik wouldn't want to you know go somewhere to try and hoist that cup.
Henrik Lundqvist is yeah. one of those players. The yeah. other one that's being talked about today is Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
And his name being linked potentially to Boston, not with any substantial, you know, rumor, but just as a question, would he accept a trade to go back to Boston?
Yeah.
To potentially try and win a cup in the place it all started. I don't know, but it's an interesting story to follow if Joe Thornton decides that he might want to leave San Jose.
They already said no, that he said no to Toronto. He for sure wouldn't go to Toronto. I thought that that might be a spot, you know, being an Ontario boy, maybe you want to go try and help out there, but maybe not this year. Maybe if they were a little better squad. But yeah, Boston, that could be one.
Yeah, that could be interesting. We'll be following that one with Patrick Marleau on his way to Pittsburgh. But we go out to Ottawa now and join Sean Simpson from TSN Radio 1200 in Ottawa. Sean, appreciate you joining us this morning. It's been a busy day, I'm sure, for you already. It's been a busy day and few days for the Ottawa Senators. How's free agency so far from your perspective?
You know what? It's been great. I work 6 to 10 in the morning, and generally this stuff doesn't happen. So the Namestnikov deal came, a fourth. I thought, you know what, maybe a third. And then news on Pajot, whether he would sign or whether he would end up being traded. I've got to be quite honest with you. It is a conditional third in 2022, but a first and second round pick for this summer versus signing him. It's amazing. Yesterday, everybody wanted him back, and right after that was announced, I think everybody in this market is thrilled with the return.
Yeah, Jean-Gabriel Pageau off to New York for a conditional first-round pick in 2020, 2020 second-round pick, and a conditional third-round pick in 2022. The condition of that first-round pick, it shifts to a 2021 first-round pick if that Islanders pick is in the top three this year. So some protection from the lottery for the Ottawa Senators. That's a good thing. So thumbs up so far to the way that Ottawa's been able to handle the deadline?
Very much so. I mean, you're going into a draft here that by all accounts is excellent. It's in Montreal right now with San Jose. Ottawa's sitting at 3, San Jose 5. You got the Islanders. They have 4 seconds. And when you're picking early in the third round, you're talking about 8 picks in the top 67. So if you're trying to rebuild a hockey club for a club that has drafted very well, has a very good staff, has a general manager, has a history of drafting, and is now watching the players, this is a big day for Ottawa and continues what's been a good year. San Jose having a bad year. They're having a bad year. Belleville has been outstanding. The kids are getting better. So as far as rebuilds go, it's been solid.
Well, it's funny you said that because we're following the Patrick Marleau news to Pittsburgh and just finished talking about Joe Thornton. I've got TSN's Trade Center right here on another device, and they just have shown a video montage of Joe Thornton. Can you see Jumbo Joe, lifting the no trade and being open to leaving San Jose and taking a shot at the Cup?
It sure sounds like it. I heard you guys talking earlier, the Toronto angle. I guess we can joke about that, whether they'll make the playoffs. and an Ontario kid, every athlete's different. And I don't want to take away from you think they'd all want to win cups. It's not always the case. I kind of wonder, Joe Thornton, would he really want to go back to Boston? I thought Colorado might make some sense. But for Boston fans, maybe reverse karma on Ray Bourque, who basically wanted out of town because they wouldn't spend. Now, let's also remember, Ray Bourque didn't win that first year. He had to come back the second year and win with them. But Joe Thornton going back to Boston, that would be some reverse karma and be pretty cool. And good for him, like I said. And I think that would be a nice push. And if he wants to do it, great. If he doesn't, for these athletes that have played a long time, also so be it. I very much respect that.
Toronto Maple Leafs, I guess, are in a playoff spot as of this morning. But our poll question is more to do with teams out west. We're asking, between Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, and Winnipeg, who needs to improve the most? Who needs to make moves? Of those teams, who do you like right now the most? Because, Edmonton's got Connor back. The Flames won last night. Vancouver, the big win over Boston. They're all playing pretty well.
Yeah, you know what they are, but it's interesting. If you ask me of the four who has the best chance to win a cup, I might even go with Vancouver. I don't like Calgary. I think they're caught in the middle. Unfortunately, Edmonton doesn't have enough depth, so soft deals like Green, maybe bringing Ennis makes sense. Winnipeg's almost a mandate to try to get into the playoffs, and then something will happen. I guess it just depends. I credit Jimmy Benning. Really, last year he was told he had to get into the playoffs or else. He's made some nice moves. They've got a nice club. I guess you could also look at the West as wide open, but I think all four of those clubs will certainly be a struggle should they get in. Cheval Dayoff has done some good work. Calgary in the past has given up so much. I guess a soft deal in Edmonton for a guy like Ennis probably makes the most sense, and there's probably the most pressure on Kenny Holland.
Well, I was actually just going to ask you that, if we think Ennis is going to go to Edmonton, but now I'll just switch it up. Yep. What do you think about, I agree with you. I've been on the Vancouver bandwagon all year. I just like something about the way it's coming together there. Do you think that they add anything else? There's a couple rumors that they might be looking to add another piece. I would be thinking that they'd be trying to bring in a veteran D-man, even a fifth or a sixth spot guy. Do you think there's any chance of them adding anything else, out in Vancouver?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. Just a question of how many future assets. You know, every year you give up a first round pick. Now, GT Miller is a fixed cost for 4 years. How much do you want to keep giving up? Myers, they signed in free agency. Hey, I think anybody could always use a defenseman. I don't know beyond that. The whole Wayne Simmons thing kind of cracks me up. He was bad last year in Philly. He was bad last year in Nashville. He was bad in New Jersey. Why would you rent him again? But you know what? Don't do the deadline. As a general manager, you know what, inside, you're always just trying to help your team. You're saying, you know what, if I can do something that makes sense. And to be honest with you, Tyler Ennis has been great here this year. And for a guy that can skate and fits into the Oilers at 800 grand would be great. But you know what, for Vancouver and anybody else, anytime you get out of veteran defense, we'd love to do it.
So TSN Bob McKenzie just a minute ago has just come out on Twitter, and he says, sounds like Wayne Simmons is heading to Buffalo. Details to follow. So we'll wait and see how that goes. Ask and you shall receive, right, on Wayne Simmons to Buffalo. But be interesting to see what the return is there.
What? I'm Jason Botterill's in trouble, okay? You gave away O'Reilly a couple of years ago. Okay, let me try to explain this. You made the Frolik trade, who was done, and you brought him in. You traded Scandella to a division rival for a fourth, and they got a second for him. Now you're bringing in Wayne Simmons, who can't play, and you're not going to make the playoffs. Boy, what a, I don't know. You're not helping yourself any. That's bizarre. And imagine the feeling for a player. I mean, you're towards the end of your career, and you just got traded to a team that's not going to make the playoffs. Very strange.
Yeah, very strange indeed. So interesting to see what the return is on that and the rest of that deal. We'll be following TSN and Bob McKenzie for that one. But how's the fan base in Ottawa, Sean, right now with all the moves, understanding that it's in a rebuild? Is there any positivity there that the future is bright? Are they on board with the process?
You know what it is? You go back to 2011. I just come back to Ottawa, and I remember they had three first-round picks. It was exciting. They won the Calder Cup, Robin Leonard and a young team. They started to move as a hockey operations, and they made a tourist trade. They made a Bishop trade. They extended Carlson. These were all a little – it felt like they were moving in the right direction. And then Alfredson left. The Ryan trade happened, and it's been all over the map since. When you look at this, you look at Belleville. You look at Shabbat and Kachuk. You look at Norris. You look at the kids down there. Absolutely. It's just a question of, will they follow through and can you trust the ownership? But when you look at, honestly, the kids that are in Belleville right now, some of the draft picks they have in the system, all these picks, how could you not be excited? And Mr. Mann has done a great job scouting. Pierre Dorion gets out and scouts. So if you wanted a blueprint to start with Shabbat and Kachuk, to see all the young players they have right now, a couple of top picks, maybe you hit the home run on the draft lottery and get the first pick overall, how can you not be excited? And I think the only part holding back right now, will you follow through? But they're in just an absolute terrific spot after the deal that was done today.
Wayne Simmons, $5 million on the cap. He's set to be, I believe, an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. A fifth-round pick.
Did they send
going the
Jack,
other way?
Did they send like Jack Hughes?
Ottawa brought in Hemsky from Edmonton. Hemsky's like, the first time I've been traded in my career and I'm going to a team that's not in the playoffs. It doesn't.
Right.
Can't imagine he's overly excited. Maybe he thought he was going to Buffalo or to Toronto via Buffalo. But who knows?
Yeah, perhaps. Fifth round pick. Maybe he's not done today. Maybe he's going to get shipped again. Who knows? We see that more in the Western Hockey League. Usually you see the deals.
I don't see that. We're talking about 3 hours until the trade deadline. It's not the day to be acquiring assets and trying to flip them.
No, I can't imagine. Sean, really appreciate the update and enjoy the rest of the day. I'm sure the circus is far from over.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
All right. Have a good one. Sean Simpson joining us from TSN 1200 in Ottawa. Yeah, fifth round pick can turn into a fourth rounder.
He's always a great guy, isn't he?
I'm sure if Wayne Simmons were signed. Oh, of course. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
And great to get an update out of Ottawa.
How weird is that? Like, that's what
we're talking about.
Is New Jersey sending something else along so that they'll take him?
Fifth round pick coming back to New Jersey for the potential, the pending unrestricted free agent. I'm sure it'll turn into a fourth if he signs. That would be the condition on it. All right, we got 6 minutes. Alexander Ovechkin scored his 700th goal in the National Hockey League over the weekend, joining Elite Company. He's just eighth now in all-time goals in the National Hockey League, 194 behind Wayne Gretzky. You think he is going to pass?
I think there's no way he
Wayne,
doesn't.
The great one?
If you sit and write down the numbers and you say he doesn't get, say he gets five more goals this year, which is very.
So let's start here. Let's start here, first of all. He's got 42 goals in the season, 700 for his career. He is on pace to score 55 goals. So let's Alexander Ovechkin is not gonna age overnight this season. So let's give him 55. Let's give him 55. That will drop him down, right?
Then drop him five a season.
181 goals he needs now.
Drop him five a season until he's 40. But the last 2 years, drop him down 10 and see what you get. You know what I mean? So drop. Go, say next year he gets 45. The next year he gets 40. The next year he gets 35. And then say he has two 25 goal seasons as 39 and 40-year-old, which Jagr had 27 at 44. So, but let's just say that. What would the numbers work out to be? He's still beating the record.
I need a calculator.
Oh, I thought you were adding that up on the spot.
Do you want me to? He's at 100. He's at 700 goals.
And now let's just say
he's at 713.
Say he's 30 goals short at 40 years old. I don't think he's quitting.
So you think he's going to score 50 goals at 36 years old?
No. I said 50 this year because he's 34 this year, right?
Yeah.
At 35, say he gets 45. Then he goes down to 40 at 36.
Yeah.
At 37, he gets 35. At 38, he gets 30. At 39, he gets 25. At 40, he gets 25.
He beats the record.
That's
at 40, he gets 25.
That's him doing nothing at 40, and dropping off a mountain.
At 40, he gets 25. At 39, he gets 25. At 38, he gets 30. Okay? 38 years old, he scores 30 goals.
Yeah.
As a 38-year-old, only three players in NHL history have ever scored 30 goals. At 38.
So the best goal scorer of all time probably will.
At 39 years old, only one player has ever scored 30 goals.
Yeah.
At 39. At 40 years old, only seven players in the history of the NHL have ever scored 20 goals. And only 21 players in the history of the NHL at age 40 have ever scored 10 goals, Jared.
So listen to me. If somebody was going to get 30 goals in those ridiculous years, there were seven other guys that did it. Don't you think that the best goal scorer of all time would probably be one of those guys who's an absolute machine?
At 41 years old.
But he only needs 25, though, in those years.
Because everybody says he's going to play till 45. At 41, only 10 players in the history of the league have ever scored 10 goals.
But he doesn't even need 10.
Only four players at 41 have scored 40. Okay? That's it.
Put him on the power play with a blindfold on. He'll get 15.
At 43 years old. At 43. At 43 years old, only four players in the history of the NHL have even scored a goal.
Well, good.
Single goal.
Good thing he won't need one, because he'll already be by the rest. Now let's just say he gets 50 goals this year, so another five, and then one more 50 goal season next year, and then two more 45 goal seasons. He needs nothing. He needs maybe another two 10 goal seasons, 15 goal seasons after that.
Nobody scored 50 goals at the age of 36.
Okay.
Well, nobody.
Who scored 50?
Ever.
Who scored 50 at 34? How many guys?
I can tell you.
Yeah, how many?
34 years old.
How many?
Not many.
How many at 33? How many at 32? Not many.
But that nobody scored 50 goals at the age of 34. So that's the argument, right?
Yeah.
As to why he can do it.
Yeah.
Is because if you're going to be the greatest of all time when it comes to goal scoring, you're going to have to do things that nobody else has done.
Exactly.
So I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But at 45 years old, okay, the last number for you, at 45 years old, only three players have even played a game in the National Hockey League.
I don't think he goes that long.
At 45 years old, only three players have even played a game.
He's not going to go that long.
What I'm saying is he's going to have to do a lot of things that really have never happened.
Yeah, well, with him, he's such a big beast, and he knows where to be that even when he gets to be 38, 39, 40, he could play at 41 and just play mostly power play. Stand in that. He's not going to forget how to shoot that time. He can go stand in his area where everybody knows he's standing all the time and fire that biscuit. And if he gets a third the amount of goals as he usually does from that spot, he's still going to be putting up 15, 20 goals a year in his 40s.
All right.
But he won't need it by then.
Well, here's hoping. We're betting lunch?
Well, let's just do a $100 bet.
$100?
I'd do $1,000, but I know you won't go there. Let's do it. Let's do $100.
Okay, $100.
$100? $100. Okay, we got a shake on air, though.
There you go. $100.
Everybody saw it.
On the Prairie Mobile text line, good morning, dupes. The Habs are dishing off players for draft picks. That's from unnamed texter. The Prairie Mobile text line is open at 306-840-8777. We'll get to your texts and comments next hour. We are fueled here at the Rod Peterson Show by our friends at G2G Bars. That's Ben Cahoon and the folks at G2G Bars. Get one on your way out. Taylor, the fridge is open. Lots of G2G Bars in there. And you can buy your own online at the website. Fresh, all-natural, health. Healthy and delicious. Use the promo code RPSHOW to get your discount. Hour two on the way with Taylor Shire from Global Regina and Ryan Ballantyne in Calgary. We'll talk Stamps, but we'll probably pick his brain a little bit of Flames too. He's a season ticket holder with the Flames, so we'll have that for you as well. This is the Rod Peterson Show, watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.